Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens. Listen to the exciting story of the American Community Schools of Athens. Check out what drives all the members of our international community of learners as we create the education of the future. Here's John Papadakis.
We're recording on a Tuesday, which is still a long way from a Friday, but very close to the past weekend. And that means, according to our guest today, it's Bad Dad Joke Tuesday. Just as a disclaimer, I don't think there is such a thing like a bad dad joke. You need to have a certain level of artistry and confidence to make teenagers roll their eyes. So, Mr. Embrock, where do bad rainbows go?
Bad rainbows, they go to prison. And they have a light sentence, so they have time to reflect.
Oh, my God.
That was a good one for my science teachers. So here you go. I'll give you guys full rights to use my bad dad joke.
Did you try it on your kids?
I haven't yet. Okay. But there'll definitely be eye rolls that'll go on with that.
I want to know the reaction.
Right.
It's pretty clever, though.
According to my kids, every day is bad dad joke day. Not just Tuesdays.
Uh-huh. So that means that you have a good repository.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. So it's not that long ago that you came to Athens, to Greece, to lead our middle school. Could you share with us your journey from a rural U.S. Town and becoming the principal of an international school in Greece? What inspired that change?
You know, I've always wanted to come overseas. You know, I've never had the opportunity, you know, with my professional career and just personal career. We just haven't. I actually have a brother-in-law who lives in London and has been there for about over 20 years. He keeps giving us a hard time. Why have you not come over to visit? And so it's something that's always been my wife and I want to do, but we've just never had the opportunity, mostly because our kids were very busy in high school. You know, now they are all adults. My youngest is now in college. So that kind of led to the opportunity is, okay, we're empty nesters now. Now, really, we have a lot of opportunity if we want. So I started looking for overseas positions, particularly in Europe. And of course, the Athens position really stood out. It was like, okay, I could definitely come to Athens in Greece. I would love to go to that paradise. Mm-hmm. So that kind of opened the opportunity. It was just kind of personally where I was at with my family. And again, professionally, I just was looking for something different. I was looking for a new challenge. You know, I'd been principal for several years, and I wanted something a little different than just the rural Midwest setting.
So before you make the decision to move, what were the most pressing questions or concerns that you and your family grappled with?
Well, the first one is that something that my wife and kids would, you know, are they supportive of? You know, so that was the first. And my kids were very supportive. They're like, why wouldn't you do that, Dad? Do something like that.
How did you break it up with them? What did you tell them?
They were just simple conversations in regards to, you know, I have an opportunity to go to Europe. I have an opportunity to go to Athens and work overseas. And it's going to be a couple years commitment. And they were mostly their reaction is, why wouldn't you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, don't worry about us. We'll be fine. You know,
guess what? We're going to be next year.
Yeah, well, they will be coming at some point. They're excited about that. There was definitely the, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They'll be visiting as well. But they're very supportive. My wife has always been very supportive of everything I've done.
So how has your experience in your previous school prepared you for the challenges and opportunities you face in this school?
Honestly, this is going to sound really basic and really simple, but kids are kids. My experiences at my previous schools with middle schoolers and high schoolers just sets me up for this position, you know, for this job. Just as I kind of, as I thought, coming to ACS Athens and working with the middle school kids, they're just kids. They're international kids, or they're culturally diverse. We're a private setting versus a public setting that I've worked in most of my career. But at the end of the day, they're weird, zany middle school kids that like to have fun, and which hopefully I kind of reflect that in how I work with them.
So in both cases, kids are strolling really slowly to come to class.
Yeah, so we're still working on a sense of urgency, to get to class on time. So we're working on that.
The time schedule.
Yes.
So if we think about cultural differences, and you think of the most notable ones between the two schools, not the system, but the school, the cultural environment, what would these differences be?
Yeah, just the diversity is really, that is the biggest difference. Even though everybody speaks English here at ACS, there's a language, there's a little bit of a language barrier as well. Part of that is the school experience, but then of course me just living here in Athens and my experience with that. But with the kids, the cultural diversity and the different languages you hear, the kids are really good. Most of them speak English very well, and you can communicate with them pretty well. But probably the biggest challenge is getting names down. Which is not much different than my previous school, getting names down.
Sure.
Now I just have more complex names that I'm just not used to.
It's longer.
Right. Got to break down my syllables.
So talking about the actual country, Greece, here, what has been the most surprising, interesting cultural experience you've had so far? I mean, have you gotten used to the unfiltered Greek coffee yet? Or
No. I've always been a pretty dark coffee drinker myself, so that's been something I've adjusted to very well. But to me the language is probably the biggest. People speak English, or so they say they speak English, and so when you actually speak English in probably my more slang, that's probably my biggest struggle or the biggest thing that I've ran into as a challenge is people who do actually speak English. And trying to articulate myself or get them to articulate themselves and how we communicate. But that's probably been the biggest difference. But, there's kind of a double culture shock for me. Not only is it Greece and Athens, the Greek versus the American, but I've grown up in a rural setting my whole life. The largest community I've been in as far as living in and actually working in a school is 4,000. So I'm not used to a large urban setting like Athens either. So it's not only just Greek, the cultural difference of a different country, but the urban versus the rural setting. So that's been something I really didn't expect. I kind of knew it, but I was like, okay, yeah, I'm living in a city too. So this is really different for me as well.
Is it too soon to ask you what you're missing from the previous situation?
Well, my wife is still in the United States, so I need to say that's the first thing.
Okay,
because she'll be listening to this. So
yes,
I miss my wife, and she'll be joining me soon. I think there's just small little things in regards to like certain types of foods that I enjoyed, in the United States back where I lived.
Example.
Starburst. It's hard for me to find Starburst. Those are one of my favorite snacks.
And I'm pretty sure you had a few on your desk when people were coming to your desk, right?
I did, and now they're all out, and I can't find any.
I'm pretty sure you can find.
People
are going to come and give you tips on where to find these
things.
There
we go. I need those tips. I need to find that. And licorice. I see people walking around with licorice, but I can't find the licorice.
Yeah. That's another advice you should seek from people coming to your office. So as we talk about middle school, and middle school students often have unique needs and challenges, how do you plan to adapt your leadership style, your principal style, to meet the needs of the diverse student body, as you said, in this school, the international setting?
Right. I don't want it to sound so basic, but you just need to be authentic and honest, and just be with the kids, relate with them. It's like, I'm here for you to help you out. I'm here to help your teachers help you learn, and at the end of the day, the students just want to feel safe and secure and a sense of belonging and being at the school. So you try to simplify that. And, recess and lunch is kind of one of my favorite times. From a supervision standpoint, it can give principals or teachers and school staff nightmares, because nobody wants. But I love it because I get to interact with the kids in a lot more. I'm walking around, talking to them at lunch and recess, and I love interacting with the kids. That's why I got into this work, And now in this setting, it's just another opportunity, just a little more unique opportunity to work with just some different kids. Mm-hmm. And I love it. They don't hesitate. They're asking me all kinds of questions. And of course, I'm asking them all kinds of questions as well. But so it's pretty simple. Relationships, interacting with the kids. I think that's how you build a good culture. And
I think that's the principle of being a principal.
Yes, I like that. Yeah. You know, with my position, I think students and even parents can be put you on a pedestal and really consider kind of that position's a scary person. Okay. I don't want that.
Seem that scary.
Well, thank you. Good. I don't want it to be. My own kids might give you a different message. But
I don't know what your face is in the house, but.
So have you thought of any exciting initiatives or projects you're planning to introduce or you already introduced in the middle school?
One thing, ACS just has a great mission and vision and, you know, approach to learning with the conscious citizenship, and projects I think are so important for middle school students. They need to be engaged, you know, so that's kind of where those things coming together, where students are working on some authentic work, you know, helping the teachers build lessons that can be as meaningful and purposeful and as authentic as possible. That's where you truly can empower students and in their own learning and get the teachers to be. I like to consider teachers almost more of facilitators of learning rather than directors of learning. We got to hand over the keys to the kids. They'll amaze us.
And they'll tell you how to best learn, how mm-hmm. they learn.
Right.
Personally.
Yeah. Kids have different learning styles all over the place. Differentiation is so important at all levels, but even particularly at the middle school. Mm-hmm. Kids need to be able to understand how they learn themselves, and the teachers understanding what is best for them to be successful with understanding, whether it be language arts, whether it be math or science. And, you know, so again, it comes down to building some projects and authentic learning that is going to be real and purposeful to the students.
You mentioned differentiation. This is one of the key words. And of course, diversity. But how about differentiation from the faculty perspective?
I mean,
you have to differentiate in the classroom with students, but you're the principal. How would you, in your mind, differentiate with the faculty? You have different faculty for different disciplines from different backgrounds. How do you differentiate?
Right. I think you made really a good analogy. As teachers are working with all their different types of students, I'm working with a middle school faculty that has all kinds of different needs as well. You know, that some of them are awesome with their classroom management and just need some ideas of how to develop some authentic projects. And, you know, others need help in that area, you know, mm-hmm. with classroom management or interacting with kids or engaging kids, you know. So all the way across the board, you know, content is different anyway, but teachers are all different, you know. So how can I best, I really do like to consider myself an instructional leader. How can I step into the classroom, give you feedback, and help you get to where you need to go with your students? And so you have to differentiate mm-hmm. within.
You are listening to the Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens.
So I'm a parent and I'm walking in your middle school. Where am I going to find you? In your desk? On the hallways? In the classroom?
Probably none of the above, because you go one place and then I'm not there, you know. So, but I would hope any of those. Certainly the last place I want to just be is the office. I want to be in the classrooms. I want to be out and about. And I've already heard from people. I'm kind of surprised, because by my standards, I'm not around enough. But I've had a lot of faculty and staff go, my goodness, you're all over the place. We see you all over. So I'm happy that that's the image I'm giving, because that's what I want. I don't want to be, matter of fact, I would love to have a stand-up desk where I could roll in the hallways and into the classrooms, or, you know, where I don't need to be at my desk, you know. So, but I want to be engaged with the students and with the teachers in the classrooms. And some of that is even in the hallways. Again, recess isn't the only place. In between classes, that's my prime time. That's my time to really interact with the kids. You know?
So as our school name says, we're all about community. Every school is a community, but ours is a little different considering the many transformations we've gone through in the past 78 years now. How do you envision fostering a sense of community and inclusion among students and parents from different cultural backgrounds? I'm going to a slightly different angle because I want to involve the parents here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think first, communication is you need to be able to communicate, you know, what we want to be about as a school and as a middle school. You know, you need to communicate with parents, and that opens the door to the partnership. You know, I think we already have a solid culture with that here right now, but you can't just be satisfied or stay stagnant. You need to find other opportunities to engage the parents into the learning process and partner with them. So communication is the first. I mean, I'm going to have principal coffees. I want to continue those. We have back to school night. You know, there's several opportunities, but I want to continue to build more. What are some more areas we can partner with parents and help their child and their education?
Mm-hmm. So thinking of your first days here at ACS Athens, can you share a memorable or a humorous moment that illustrates the challenges or the joy of being in a different environment and how you adapt to it?
Oh, all right. So dealing with middle schoolers is unique enough, but within the middle school, you have the little pockets of uniqueness.
Right.
You have sixth graders who are brand new to the process, and it's all about the combination lock, them trying to open their lockers and the combination lock. So I was trying to help a sixth grader with their locker. And ironically enough, there was a lock inside the locker that had got left in. So I helped her with her lock.
And then you had to practice on the other one?
No, I grabbed the other one. I was like, what's this doing here? So I brought it back. Well, I put it in my back pocket. So I go to another meeting. And so when I go to the other meeting, I sit on this combination lock. And of course, well, so I get it out. And of course, at this meeting, it was other administrators, and we were going to share. We're reflecting on how our day goes. I go, here is my symbol of how my day is going, is it's the combination lock. That is the epitome of this was the first day of school.
And so, it's not a simple flat lock.
It's
really
got that
bulky
little
one.
It's got that little nub on there that can hurt when you sit on it right.
And you can actually hear the clicks when it goes from point
it,
to point.
It didn't open as I sat, but it stayed locked. But so I got that combination lock out, and there is my, I don't even need to say a word. This symbol is the essence of my
is
first
where,
day.
Where you are right now.
Yeah.
So as you settle into life in Athens, if a colleague of yours from the States were to seek your advice about making a similar move, considering the social life, the professional aspects, and your personal path, what guidance would you give them?
You need to look within yourself and what you want out of life. You know, some people are very satisfied with what they do and where they're living. And, you know, not that I didn't enjoy rural Iowa and, you know, my experiences there, but I've always wanted to explore. I've always wanted to be an explorer, and I really haven't had a lot of that. So I would ask them what they truly want. What do you want for you and your spouse and your family? What do you want personally? What do you want professionally? I was able to kind of mix the two. Personally, mm-hmm. I wanted to explore and visit places. Athens, Greece was like, yes, that's I want to explore Athens. But professionally, the opportunity was there. And, you know, so I'm able to still do my work with teachers and help them work with students on learning while I get to visit Athens and travel overseas. So for me, I would say if that's something you want to do in your life, then, you know, it's got to be right for you.
It's a specific group of people that usually do this kind of, as they say, the international route. Hmm. And most of the times when you visit one school, then you tend to go to another international school because it's a very interesting, you know, mm-hmm. it's a very interesting circuit,
right.
As they say.
I had a former principal that I worked with who did something similar. He basically kind of semi-retired. And then he ended up, his first placement was in Yemen. And, you know, so his experience, I was like, that got me thinking, why would I not want to do something like that? So, and he's been to four or five different countries now, you know, through through the international communities. One other thing I'll just quickly note, my daughter did a study overseas program in Italy. And even though I'd already made the decision that I'm going to come to Athens, she was in Florence, Italy, and every day that she was sharing with me her experience and what was going on, it just validified and solidified, yes, I made the right decision. I want to do this. I'm really excited about this opportunity professionally and personally for myself.
And a lot of our international teachers and staff, they tend to use the time that they are here to visit other places in Europe. So you start making travel plans.
Right. I'll go back to my brother-in-law again. If we're not in London within a year, I'm probably not getting a Christmas present.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you didn't go to that discussion. I was going to say, what about the plans to UK?
Well, my wife will make those plans. Okay. I mean, it is her
then for her. Okay. So I hear you're a music fan. And as we're attempting to put the school band together again, if we asked you to play, what kind of instrument and what kind of music would you play?
Probably the only thing I can play would probably be percussion. You know, so you could maybe get
play
me on
drums.
I did back in fifth grade, and that's where it ended.
Let me make a note.
So if you got a 5-gallon bucket, then you know maybe I can make some music, or maybe a set of spoons.
Okay.
Usually you'll hear me tapping my knee, or you know, my wife also has to stop me from shaking my leg. I like to tap my foot and shake my leg all the time when I'm listening.
And what kind of music?
I really like some of the rock classic stuff. You know, I'm a big
60s, 70s,
70s and 80s.
70s, you know, and 80s.
I grew up in the 80s, so there's a lot of 80s, but I really love a lot of the 60s and 70s. So, I mean, you name it, AC/DC, the Beatles, the Monkees. Huey Lewis and the News, they were one of my favorites. The Cars.
Pretty feel-good music.
Yeah, yeah. Upbeat, you know, some good classic rock.
Excellent. So finally, what would you like parents and colleagues to know about you that you haven't already had the chance to share?
I've been in education for over 30 years, and of that, I was a social studies teacher. I think that kind of is ingrained in me. I was a geography major and studied geography, so I've always been intrigued about the world and learning about cultures. And I was an athletic coach for several years as well. I did American football, track, volleyball. I coached volleyball in the United States, at least the schools I were. It was just women's volleyball, but baseball. I've coached a lot of different things, but those were the things that really catapulted me into education too, because I saw the power in working with kids from an athletic standpoint.
It's a totally different perspective, right?
Yep. You just get to see the kids in a different light, and they get to see you in a different light. So I really enjoyed my days of coaching and teaching social studies. And so I think those are part of my experience that have led me here to Athens, to ACS.
Mike Embrock, the new principal for the middle school, thank you for being with us, and enjoy the year.
Thank you for having me.
You are listening to the Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens. Make sure you subscribe to the Owlcast on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. This has been a production of the ACS Athens Media Studio.